Hey guys, Justin Rohr here from Restoration Church, and like the rest of the world, we are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, and while our services are canceled, guess what? Church is not. Church is people. Church is family. So we're defiant in our hope. We believe that God is still on the move in our church, even in our separate places. So we encourage you in this time, go to restorationlex.com/online and check out resources like getting connected to community, watching our service with us on Facebook every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Lots and lots of stuff to help you not only stay connected, but equip you to follow Jesus in these times. So check restorationlex.com/online. And thanks for listening. Well, Restoration family, it is good to be with you this Sunday morning, wherever you are, in your house, your apartment, across the city, across the state, the country, the world. I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, I'm glad you're with us. I'm glad you're joining us today. We've said for years now as a church that church is not a service, we're a building. Church is family. And so I'm confident today that what the Holy Spirit is doing is a supernatural work in uniting us together, that even though we're not in the same place, even though we're scattered, we are together as a family. I can't think of anything that I need more than that right now, than to know I have a family that I can belong to in the midst of a very crazy time. Last couple of weeks, as leaders, we've been trying to make phone calls and emails and text and checking in on people as much as we can and seeing how people are, how we could pray for folks. And one person said, you know, you got to be patient with me. This is my first global pandemic. And she was joking, but in reality, it was pretty true. I mean, none of us have done anything like this before. This is our first experience with something like this ever. And another way of putting it is we're in uncharted territory. I mean, we've never experienced anything like this before. In a way, it feels like a wilderness. It feels like we've been dropped into a wilderness and that all over again, we're learning how to survive. I know we're in our homes for the most part. And in a physical sense, maybe most of us are safe, as we should be staying in our homes, by the way. But spiritually, it does to me feel like a wilderness, like a place of refinement. And I don't know about you, but all of the rhythms and the practices that made up my life, and especially my spiritual life before all this, now that we've entered in this season where we're sheltering in place and there's a global pandemic, all of those rhythms and practices and whatnot, they have been exploded into nothingness because it just doesn't work. Where I'm at, where you're at, it doesn't work. The things that got us here probably won't get us forward into something new. So it forces us now to learn new ways of practicing the ways of Jesus in this season. It forces us to unlearn some things that we really needed to unlearn in the first place. And it forces us to relearn some things that maybe we thought we already knew, but we're going to learn them in ways that refresh us in seasons like this. So that's what this whole series is about. It's a series called A Field Guide for Troubled Times. And my prayer in this series is not just that we inform you with information about God, but really that we equip you. This has been my heart in this season. It's the word that's been in my heart the last few weeks is this word equip, that God wants to use this season for the church as an equipping season to strip away the stuff that doesn't matter and to emphasize and to call the church to what it's actually meant to be in the first place. There's a broken model that many of us have followed for years that the church is basically a big crowd of people who equips the few, the ministers, to do all the works of the ministry. When in reality, what the scriptures call us to is the few, the people called to ministry, are the equippers to equip the whole body, the whole church for the work of the ministry. And listen, we're in that now, whether we like it or not. You are the church where you are. So my prayer moving forward is to equip you to follow Jesus where you are. I think what God's going to do in this season is really strip away and refine us, as the wilderness always does in the scriptures. It always strips away the stuff that doesn't matter and emphasizes and brings to the surface the stuff that's eternal, the stuff that actually matters. And so in light of that, I want to pray. I want to pray for us as a community moving forward that God would do that, that he would equip us for this new season of following Jesus in troubled times. So Father, where we're at, we need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. God, where there are things we need to leave behind, would you give us the courage to do that? And would you give us the humility to unlearn some things that we've needed to unlearn for a long time? Would you give us wisdom, Holy Spirit, on how to follow Jesus in our context, in our homes, right where we are? Holy Spirit, we trust you. Would you speak today? Would you let my words fall away? Would you let your words pierce hearts and minds, even mine, God? Would you change us as a community? Change us, God, and form us to be like Jesus in these crazy times. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So to lay a foundation, we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, if you have a Bible, turn to it. If you have an app, turn to it there. It's going to be on the screen too. Wherever it is, follow along with us. I love when we can read these scriptures together and look at this. This is a story about Jesus in a storm. We're going to start in verse 22. Read it with me. It says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' And so they got into the boat and they started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon, a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filled with water, and they were in real danger." So this lake that Luke is telling us about is the Sea of Galilee. It was very prominent in many stories in the Gospels, especially because some of the disciples were fishermen. And so we see a lot of stories around this. And I don't know if you know this about the Sea of Galilee, but the Sea of Galilee, it actually sits 700 feet below sea level. It's surrounded by hills. I'm going to show you a picture here on the screen. This is the Sea of Galilee during a storm. It's actually the lowest freshwater lake in the entire world. And so with the right weather conditions, with the right temperatures, storms blow in really hard and really fast. So you can be out on the water, having a nice sail during the day, and all of a sudden a storm comes out of nowhere and catches you off guard. But Luke's actually telling a story within this story, a story that's bigger, a story that's deeper than just the story we're reading on the paper. You see, in the scriptures, in Jewish life in particular, the sea represents something much deeper than just water. Throughout the scriptures and in many Near Eastern cultures, the sea represents chaos. It represents disorder. It represents the undoing of creation. I mean, think about it. The ocean itself, I don't know if you knew this or not, but we have only mapped or discovered 5% of the world's oceans. 5%. With all of our technology, with all the stuff we know and all the science that we've been able to advance in this world, we still only know 5%. Think about how mysterious. Think about how out of our control that is. We see this on the very first page of the scriptures, Genesis chapter 1, the second verse in the Bible. Look with me what this says. It says, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water." So in the creation account here, in the second verse of the Bible, the world before our existence was this vast, untamed, watery chaos. And it says the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. He's hovering over the chaos. Why is he hovering over them? Because he's about to do something. What's he about to do? He's about to speak. In verse 3, God speaks, and what happens? He says, "Let there be light." There's light. Verses 6 through 7, he says, "Let there be a sky. Let it separate from the water." And the next few verses there, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Let there be earth." And the earth comes up out of the water. So we see immediately in these first 10 verses of the Bible that he speaks this world into existence. We see something begin here in the very first chapter of the Bible that continues throughout the totality of the scriptures. And that's this: when God speaks order into chaos. He speaks peace into chaos. Everywhere throughout the scriptures, we're going to see that over and over and over and over again. So moving forward, I want to stop real quick in the middle of this, and I want to ask you a question. So if you're following on Facebook, there's a comment section right beside you. I want you to be engaging in this, joining us with this. I want to ask this question. So type it in there. If you're just watching it somewhere with some folks, talk to them. If you're just sitting at home by yourself, say it out loud. I mean, nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody's there with you. So just go ahead and join it. Wherever you are, join us. Answer this question with me. Here's the question I want to ask for everyone out there. In your life right now, what feels like chaos? What feels like chaos? And I know the easy answer is going to be everything feels like chaos right now. But be specific. What specifically in your life feels like a source of chaos? So take about 30 seconds here, and wherever you are, answer that question. What feels like chaos? So whatever you type there, or whatever you said, I want you to hold on to that. Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thing that's causing chaos in your life. We're going to continue on in the story. Obviously, Jesus is with them in the middle of the storm, but the story tells us that Jesus is taking a nap. Now, a nap is most of the time intentional, and it seems like in the story, it is intentional. Now, I'm not one of those type of people that can just fall asleep anywhere. I don't know if you're one of those people. My wife's like that. My wife can fall asleep like that at just about anywhere, but this is a new level. If you could go out on a boat in the middle of not only just an ocean, but a storm in the midst of this sea and fall asleep, that is impressive that you can do that. And in the midst of this, the water's coming over the boat. The Bible actually says they are in danger. The disciples are freaking out, as you and I would also freak out. And they say there, the disciples said, and they woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown. We're going to drown." You know, we spent a lot of time the last month talking about how when we face difficult circumstances, we should not be afraid to tell God what we feel. We should not be able to be afraid to speak our true emotions and our feelings and our heart to God, because he's not afraid of our questions or our doubts or our questions or even our anger. He wants us to bring those to him. Here's another example of the disciples with Jesus in the middle of the storm, not being afraid to say what they actually feel. Hey, we're going to drown. In fact, one of the parallel stories in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, he goes even further. It says, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" It's not just that, "Hey, listen, help us out." It's, "Do you even care? Do you even care about my circumstances? Do you even care about the fact that this storm's about to take over? Do you care about the chaos that we are facing right now?" You know, wrapped up in this question is an often unspoken belief that I think time to time all of us probably have wrestled with. And it's this belief that if my circumstances are bad, then either God is absent, or worse, God's there and he's apathetic. He doesn't care. He's either not there or he just doesn't care about the stuff we're facing right now. And you can build a whole version of Christianity on this. There's a theology called triumphalism. I'm coming from the word triumphant. And it's the idea that because God loves me, then my life should be this endless string of success and wins and healings and promotions and positivity because God loves me. And so if you take that same math and kind of turn it backwards, if things are going bad, then maybe God doesn't love me, or maybe I'm doing something wrong, or maybe he's not really around. It's a very transactional understanding of God that if I do the right things, then he will come through with nice things, with good times, with happiness, when in reality, the scriptures show nothing like that. And sure, you may see that kind of theology on cable TV with some of the preachers and their big hair, but if we're real honest, we probably find ourselves stepping back into those mindsets a lot. That if I do these things, God will give me good times. And if I'm not experiencing that, then surely he's either not there or he doesn't care, and I better figure it out. So if we continue on in the story, Jesus says he woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. And then he asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man, they asked each other, when he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him? I don't know if you remember Genesis 1, what we talked about earlier, but in Genesis 1, God speaks order into chaos. He speaks peace into chaos. And what's happening in the story, what Luke is telling, the story within the story, is not just that Jesus calmed the storm. That's a big deal. But Luke is telling us that there's something more about this Jesus than we can see. That this Jesus is the same God of Genesis 1. That this Jesus is Yahweh in flesh, who has the power to step into the chaos, to step into the waves, to step into the disorder and speak life, and speak order, and speak peace. This is God in the storm. And then Jesus asked, where is your faith? Such an important question in times like these. Where are we placing our faith? We have a really clear choice in these times. We can either have our circumstances be the lens through which we see our faith and what we believe, or we can allow our faith to be the lens through which we see our circumstances. Either our faith is this faith that's in a lack of struggle or a lack of chaos or a lack of suffering, or our faith is in the God who's in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the suffering. Either our faith is in our good circumstances, or our faith is in the God who is with us in spite of our circumstances, no matter how bad they get. I hope that's tracking with you. Because here's where I think the rubber meets the road for us in times like this. To get really, very, very real with you, we have to learn to see God in the places we don't want to be. And right now, I think we are all saying that, God, I don't want to be here. But I have to learn to see you here. I have to learn to know you here. Not when it's calm, but right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of the storm, I have to learn to see you. I have to learn to listen to you. I have to learn to know you. It's easy to see God in the good times. It's easy to see God when we're happy. It's easy to see God when things are going our way. But when tragedy strikes, when things like a pandemic is all around us, when there is suffering all around us all the time, when the clouds roll in, when the waves start rising, when the storm begins to form, we have a choice to either look at the storm or learn to look at the God who's in it. That's the choice. You see, the good news in this season is that God is still speaking peace into the chaos. Whenever God speaks, he's still speaking peace into the chaos. Remember Genesis 1, first page of the Bible. He's hovering over the waters. He speaks and disorder turns to order. Chaos turns into peace. Well, on the last page of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, as it's talking about Jesus bringing new creation, something really interesting is said in the first verse there. I want to look at that. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 there. Look with me. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And there's this really weird statement that outside of this context, you probably would just breeze over and not really think about. It says, and the sea was also gone. That seems like a weird thing to say unless you know the total context of the scriptures and what the sea represents. What this is saying is that when Jesus returns and brings new creation, when heaven meets earth and everything is made new again, the sea of chaos, the sea of disorder, the sea of brokenness in our lives and in our world will be no more. He goes on to say in the next verses that he will wipe away every tear from our eye. There will be no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. That is the future that God is promising us. One day, the stormy sea will be silent and will be no more. But for now, we can be assured that the storms will continue to come. You know, even after this is all over, this sheltering in place and the pandemic and the COVID-19, after all this is over, there's still going to be storms. There's still going to be things that we face that are outside of our control. And so whether we learn to see God in the midst of it or we learn not to, is going to be massively, massively important. I truly believe, my friends, that the most important spiritual practice in times of crisis is learning to discern the voice of God. Here's why I say that. If God is still speaking peace into the chaos, we have to understand that we may not be listening. We have to understand that there may be voices that are bombarding us, that are inhibiting our ability to listen to what the Lord is saying to us in this season. There are voices of politics. There are voices of entertainment. There are voices of social media. And I'm not saying that everybody's all evil. I'm just saying that in many ways, the enemy can use the neutral. He can use the voices all around us just to flood us to where we can't hear what God is actually saying in times like these. And so to close today, I want to take a time and just be still and just listen. And here in a few moments after we have communion and a little time of worship with Hannah, I want to talk about some practical steps for us. But now we just need to slow down and we need to listen to the voice of the Lord speak to us. And one of the parallel stories is Jesus stands up in the middle of a storm. He says three words: peace, be still. So that thing you typed or you named earlier that feels like chaos to you, I want you to think of that again. I want you to hold that in your hand, hold that in your heart. And as we go into prayer, I want to slow down and I want to just speak this over it. I want us to speak this over it. As we breathe in, to say the word peace. And as we breathe out, to say the words be still. We breathe in, we say peace, be still. And the chaos, peace, be still. In our homes, peace, be still. With our kids, peace, be still. With our marriages, peace, be still. And God, in the world around us, peace, be still. Holy Spirit, quiet our hearts and minds. Equip us in these difficult and troubling times to go to the God who speaks peace in the chaos and to listen. Give us ears to hear. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we'll celebrate communion together now. If you have elements at home, great. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. What's more important now is that we're doing this together. So if you don't have anything, you're still with us. You're still joining with us here as we reflect on what Jesus has done for us. We take these elements representing Jesus' body and his blood as a remembrance of his sacrifice for us, that he's made everything new because of the cross and resurrection. And not only in this are we united to Christ, but we are united even as we are separated to one another. And so let's take a moment and reflect and to listen and to receive what God has given us in communion.
Peace like a river. And Lord, is the